Welcome, everyone, to another edition of Community in Depth. We are joined today by our friend Steve Soler. He is the director of a new Black Dirt Theater production, and we're going to get to that in just a moment. But first of all, we're just going to get caught up with him. I almost called you an old friend, and you're not old, Steve, so I took that word back. But it's really great to see you. You and I have been circling paths or orbits of each other for many, many years, and it's wonderful to see you still involved in Black Dirt Theater.
Yeah, it's been a while since I've done, it's been a while since I've done anything on the stage. So it's been a while since I've done anything with Black Dirt on stage. So yeah, it's nice to get back into the swing of things.
Well, let's talk about the swing of things. What have you been up to, Steve?
Well, the biggest artistic thing that I had been doing was Black Dirt Radio.
Which is a huge hit with our listeners. So thank you for doing that.
You're welcome.
How fun was that to put together those shows?
The radio, the practices that we did for the shows and then putting them together was all a lot of fun. There, of course, were some learning challenges, like some little how do we do this sound effect? How do we best get everybody together in their homes and record? But once we got into the swing of things and the groove of how to do it, it was super easy. And yeah, it was a lot of fun. People pushed themselves a lot to come up with some really, really creative characters just using their voice, which I think was also kind of fun because people were also able to explore characters that they might not necessarily be cast in traditionally as well.
Is that because of how they look?
Yes, and sometimes we were having people who were adults playing children, right? Like playing teenagers
or younger.
That's
easy to do if you have the right kind of voice.
Exactly. Yeah. So it was a lot of fun to be able to do things like that with it as well.
No, I think that you are onto something. I think back about how at one point in our history for a long, long time, radio was the entertainment.
Exactly.
And people did gather around a radio the way they do. Well, they don't do it anymore around a TV, but in the way that they then gathered around a TV, perhaps a generation later. And now you're so much younger than me. What do people gather around now?
Oh, I don't know if people gather around anything. Maybe people watch the same stream on TikTok or Discord or YouTube. I don't know.
But they're not in the same room as what you're saying.
Maybe not. But no, I think you're hitting a really cool point for people because it seemed that a lot of people that were in that generation that listened to radio shows together with their family, a lot of the shows and scripts we did unlocked a lot of core memories.
Like, for sure.
You could say Life of Riley and people could throw out a couple of his catchphrases.
Right. Well, that's a phrase in itself. She's living the life of Riley or he's living the life of Riley.
Yeah. So there were a lot of fun connections, I think, that people had because of it. And yeah.
Well, and for you, how was it? Was that a new medium for you to explore?
Oh, very much, right? Like, it feels a little more film-like than theater-like, kind of, at its very basic level, because you can redo a scene if you need to, right? There's no live audience how we did it. We recorded them as a group, so we would record scenes together, so we would still be able to play off of each other and such, but we also were able to do a couple different takes and choose the one that we liked the best. But we really tried to balance that out to feel more like theater in that, like I said, we would have everybody together as opposed to if this were done like as a podcast or an audio drama, people could just go individually and record their lines and not necessarily play off of the entire cast. Mm-hmm. So we really found a fun balance, I think, of making a radio show as like a radio theater show.
Well, I hope it continues. It really is an art.
Yes, for sure, for sure. And I think one of the other very cool things that happened from it is Black Dirt Theater has always been really good about thinking about what community means, right? And that community isn't necessarily the confines of the city. And there's people in this upcoming show from the surrounding suburbs. But what was very, very cool about radio theater was we weren't bound by geography at all. So we had a couple performers from out of state. We had a couple performers from like Chicago, New York sometimes, like our friends that were elsewhere that were like, hey, let's hop on and do this show.
Well, and guess what? You had a lot of listeners from out of state too.
Yeah.
So yeah. That's the other cool part of this.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Well, that's awesome. Well, you mentioned the new show.
Yes.
And I'm anxious to hear about that. Tell us all about it.
Yeah, it is. It's a show that if people know it, they seem to really, really be excited for it. It is a comedy written by Tom Stoppard called Rosencrantz and Guildenstern Are Dead.
Oh, boy. Is it a tragedy? It
seems,
Oh, no. It's not okay. It seems sad.
Right. It isn't sad, but it is based. Rosencrantz and Guildenstern are two side characters in Hamlet. And this is like a comedic retelling kind of their perspective of things.
Oh.
So it does weave in with a couple scenes of Hamlet here and there.
Oh.
Like a couple of scenes that the characters are actually in. But we follow Rosencrantz and Guildenstern's journey the entire time. And they're kind of like clowns, in a sense, where whatever happens, happens. They're not really sure what's happening. And you don't need to understand Hamlet to understand what they're going through.
I was just going to ask. Yeah, okay.
They don't fully understand what's happening.
Oh,
and they're trying to figure things out.
Oh, so are they in Hamlet's time? Or are they modern day?
This play is not necessarily set in Hamlet's time at all.
Okay.
It's kind of in its own universe,
okay.
If that makes sense, where the time and place matters a lot less than the events and the character
okay.
relationships.
So is it old English speak?
No. Most of it is very modern. Like I said, there are parts where they actually use lines from Hamlet.
Yes.
So there are a couple of parts where people will speak in a little bit of verse like in Hamlet. But none of the language is that obscure. None of the languages
will understand it.
Yeah. Right. And the play has a lot of words in it.
Oh.
Right. So it is one of those things that everybody will understand the essence of the show and the general events that are happening. Mm-hmm. If there's a word or two that's like, oh, I don't actually, like, this is a weird Hamlet-y word that doesn't mean anything to me, then it probably also doesn't mean anything to either Rosencrantz or Guildenstern, and that's part of the humor.
So this production starts when?
Thursday, September 25th.
Oh, my goodness.
And it only does run for one weekend.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's the 25th, the 26th, and the 27th, and then there is a matinee on Sunday the 28th.
And this show is going to be where?
Hastings Middle School.
Okay.
In the auditorium.
That's a great auditorium.
The very first show I did at Black Dirt was at the middle school.
Okay.
So I have always appreciated how the stage is laid out. It's a very
interesting. Is it a thrust stage or something?
Yes, it is, because of how far it comes out and how like angled it is, and the audience can kind of see different
angles. I agree.
Yeah.
I think it's a really unique stage. I think the high school has a great stage. I think we're lucky we have both kinds of stages.
In
Hastings.
For sure.
So as the director, how do you start a process like this? How long ago did you have tryouts and all that?
Oh, well, we started the process a while ago with Ryan McCoy from Black Dirt coming to me with the idea of like, hey, this could be a thing. And
what does that mean? Hey, this could be a thing.
Hey, we have this show that we want to do. Would you be interested in directing? And I'll say
Did you have to think about it?
Yes, I did.
Oh,
yes,
tell me why, Steve Soler.
Because, like I said, there is a lot of people that know this show that really, really like it. And it is kind of a daunting show in its length. And the characters of Rosencrantz and Guildenstern are on stage the entire time.
Goodness.
So there's a lot of, I think, challenges also for actors when it's done in a very traditional way. And it wasn't until that I think I was like, well, I thought about it for a while. I had some conversations with some other trusted friends that are in the Black Dirt circle. And it wasn't until I was like, oh, what if we do the show in a slightly more unique way? That kind of speaks to me a little bit, and I think the show really kind of calls for, and it's swapping out actors playing Rosencrantz and Guildenstern, and a couple of the other roles, but Rosencrantz and Guildenstern are not going to be played by the same performer the entire evening.
Okay, that really is a twist on this. How did you think of that, Steve?
Just looking at the script, there are some points in the script where there are things that are kind of reflective, where Rosencrantz and Guildenstern see almost like a shadow version kind of themselves.
So that
like,
would have been a logical place to do this swap out.
Yes.
Okay.
So there's a couple times where it seems like the show is very meta and very heavy like that, where it's like, oh, they're almost seeing like another version of themselves or maybe the future. I really think because they're characters, they exist in the realm of the story that's being told.
Mm-hmm.
And even if they die at the end of the story, the story itself
alert?
Doesn't die.
Okay.
Well, it's in the title, so I hope it's not a spoiler.
That's true. I never yes. thought of that. Okay.
Yes.
Well, that's interesting. And, you know, that's kind of the Black Dirt way, though, isn't it? To have some sort of a little twist of some sort?
Yeah, I think so. I think Black Dirt has always, when it at its best, been able to reimagine
yes.
what a show
very
could
innovative.
Look like.
Yep. Yes.
And find a way that really speaks to how to tell something, as opposed to just, oh, we like the script, let's do it.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a totally valid way to do a show as well, too, right? Like, it's totally valid to be, I like the script, we're going to do it. But I think it's so much more cool to be able to be like, oh, we have this cool vision for it, which is kind of hard to explain because it is a little on the meta side of things. So that was one of my biggest, I'll say fear. It was one of my biggest fears is finding actors that were also going to want to go along with something that's a little weird, a little different. And you had asked when auditions happened. Auditions happened about a month before we started rehearsing. And we did let everybody know that that was a part of the plan. So it wasn't a surprise to them. And I think there were some people that really, really, really liked it. And for the people that are Rosencrantz and Guildenstern, they only have to learn about half of the lines that they would have to learn.
Right, so. That's pretty nice.
Yes.
So because those two characters are on stage together for so long,
yes.
did you have to then, when you were trying to figure out the transition time into other actors playing
sure.
those characters, did you have to look at the chemistry between the new pair?
Yes, we didn't necessarily do like callbacks or do a whole lot of like chemistry testing between mm-hmm. them, because what they did in auditions was very clear of who would play very well with each other. And I will say that I didn't worry a whole lot about if they need to look the same, if they need to dress exactly the same, because
The audience will know they're
yes.
different people
yes.
anyway.
Exactly. Yeah, we weren't trying to hide that fact. It wasn't supposed to be a huge twist or spoiler.
You weren't looking for twin actors
Correct.
To come and
Correct.
Audition.
But it is important that they have a fun dynamic with each other and that the dynamic kind of stays the same. But also, the play goes up and down and they switch parts. And one of the kind of jokes in Hamlet is that certain characters can't tell them apart. So that's kind of a big, heady question of this show is, who are they? What are they doing? What is their place? What is their point? And even just for each other, like, who am I? Who are we?
So how many people are in this show?
I think there are 17 performers. And then there would be also a tech crew and designers. So probably a couple dozen people involved
total.
That's wonderful. Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
Well, this show, again, we only have 4 performances to see.
Yes. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, September 25th, 26th, and 27th in the evening. And then Sunday, the 28th, will be a matinee.
We can get tickets. How, Steve?
You can for sure get tickets at blackdirttheater.com. There would be links to buy tickets there. You could also always buy tickets on site at the show. I'm not sure how early the box office opens before the show. It's at least 30 minutes. Those are the only two methods that I am aware of. I know for sure blackdirttheater.com will get people where they need to get to.
Well, that's awesome. And we can find out more information at blackdirttheater.com
sure. yep.
as well.
Yeah, everything
Steve,
you would want to know.
This
yeah.
sounds so fun. And how fun for you as a director to be able to really put your own stamp on something.
Oh, yeah. Yes, it's been fun. It's been a challenge. It's been.
Are you glad you said yes?
Yeah. I think we've got such a great group of people that are involved in this show that we're gearing up to be ready to share it with people. We just got a couple extra little tweaks to do in the next week or so, and then we really, really, really want to share it with an audience.
It's a good feeling, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Steve, what has Black Dirt Theater done for you? How has it added to your life?
Well, the first show I did was in 2011 with Black Dirt, so it's been a while. But I will say that I do think the way that they approached creating theater with a community-forward mindset really helped me hone in how I wanted to create theater in any setting, whether it was community theater or professional theater, to really have that same vibe or soul of, hey, we're worrying about the group that's being involved in here and that the process matters just as much as the final product. Of course you want a final product that's great and excellent and the community loves to go see and the audience enjoys it, but you also want a really excellent process where everybody feels listened to, cared for, collaborative, and that really, 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 from Tis a Gift on, which was the first show I did, affected how I thought about every other theater performance I worked on.
And community theater is different than professional theater.
Yes, in that performers would generally not get paid. Yeah. And sometimes technicians as well. But in professional theater, like, everybody would be getting paid, and sometimes they have their own space, right? Like, we think of big things like the Guthrie that are all huge and big, but there are also other smaller theater companies where things are creative and people are still working together, but it's also always a job for everybody. Whereas community theater, a lot of the times people are doing it just because they want that connection or they want to push themselves. Or, like I said, this is a very popular show for people who know the show, so there are some people that are drawn to it to do a thing that they really, really want to do.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's awesome.
Yeah.
I'm so happy for you. It's great to see you, Steve.
It's nice, so nice to see you again, too, Mo.
Thank you for coming in today and telling us about this great new show. Rosencrantz and Guildenstern are dead, but it's a comedy.
Yes, yeah. Yeah. You'll laugh. I promise. You'll laugh.
I laugh at pretty much everything. Again, it's going to be September 25th, 26th, 27th, and 28th, and it's going to be at the Hastings Middle School Auditorium. Tickets are available online at blackdirttheater.com or at the door. So I hope it's a great run for you. So good to see you. Steve Soler is the director of this new Black Dirt Theater production, and we look forward to seeing it in person. And you are listening to another edition of Community in Depth on AM 1460 and FM 97.7 KDWA in Hastings.